Hello, once again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. The smells and colors and flavors of autumn are back, from the rich oranges of pumpkins and squash to the rich flavors of the soups and casseroles you can make with them. The foods of fall are the perfect blend of healthy and comfort. And we have a guest in the studio today who knows all about harvest goodies and how you can get them fresh and local. Donna Williams is the founder and owner of Field Goods, a produce subscription business that serves the Capital Region and Hudson Valley. They deliver fresh, local produce to individuals and businesses weekly. They also run wellness programs for farmers and non-farmers alike. Wellness is a timely topic, too, as we all embrace our New Year's resolutions. Well, not yet.
Not yet
on the resolutions. This script may be maybe recycled, which is also very green. It's a good thing to do. Let's talk fall produce and healthy living. Give us a call. The number to call is 1-800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551. You can also post your comments on our Facebook page, facebook.com/WAMC Radio, or tweet us at WAMC Vox Pop, or you can email us at voxpop@wamc.org. But again, the number to call is 1-800-348-2551. Well, Donna Williams, nice to have you back on the show. I guess, based on the script, you were here around the new year.
Yeah, exactly. So it was about 9 months ago I was here, I guess.
It's funny. You and I were trying to figure out when you were on last, and all I had to do was read the script.
Yeah, we had a clue right in front of us.
Exactly. So how you been?
We've been great. We have grown a lot since I was here.
And boy, you sure have.
We've moved into a big new building. We bought an 18,000 square foot building in Athens, New York, and the space we used to be in could fit now in just one corner of the building.
Have you gone corporate? Have you sold out to the corporate pigs?
No, we haven't, because we're still not making any money.
Ah!
Still in startup phase, so no, there's no there's no fancy executive offices yet.
So you didn't have a driver bring you here today?
No driver. Well, I drove.
Oh, well,
so at least had a good-looking driver.
Well, you see, there you go. Donna Williams is our guest from Field Goods, and I know the work that you do, because several folks here subscribe, and every week there's the stuff. And every week it's different, right?
Yeah, every week it's about 7 different items that we buy from, gosh, I think we're up to like 80 different farms. Most of them being in the Hudson Valley. But some of them are in Vermont, some of them in New Jersey, that we select every week, and we try to really mix it up, and we try to get people stuff that they would never buy in a grocery store, and then they find out they love it. And I brought a lot of that kind of stuff today, things that look like they'd be more, they'd look better in a vase than on your plate, but they're fabulous, and we can talk about
that. Yes, we should talk about it, because there are some things I have no idea what they are. So maybe we can start with those mystery items.
The mystery items.
Yeah.
All right, so the mystery item that is closest to Ray is amaranth, and that is this beautiful green and red plant. Some of these things that I'll be pointing to, people think of as potential weeds, but amaranth is like spinach, and it's considered to be one of the new superfoods.
Why?
A lot of people eat the seeds because it's high in antioxidants. A lot of the produce that you look at here, you're going to see these incredible colors, and colors usually indicate that there's a lot of beneficial nutrients in the product. So
So what's this called?
Amaranth. You could try it.
Pick off a leaf?
Yeah, pick off a leaf and munch. You can throw it in salads. You can use it like spinach. A lot of things you want to, you look at that are strange, you sort of want to say, okay, I would use this like I would use X. And amaranth is something you would use like spinach.
So I'm trying to get is it a little bitter?
It's a little bit bitter. A lot of these greens, if you cook them, the bitterness goes away.
Mm-hmm. I got to have another one to
try. I think it's fairly neutral, the amaranth, which makes it really nice in a salad. You can imagine it with salad dressing.
Yeah, you could.
And it's great. You chop it up, throw it on top of soups. A lot of these different greens are, they're almost in the herby kind of family. So amaranth is something that this was grown by a farm in Athens, Rexcroft, and it's typically an Asian green. Some of our farmers in the Hudson Valley, they sell a lot into the green markets in New York City. So the products that they're growing up here are actually influenced by the diversity of their customers in the city. And Rexcroft in particular is one that has a really wide variety of different products that it grows.
It's a beautiful plant.
It is. It's gorgeous.
And when I eat it, I feel like I'm a deer, just for a minute. You know, we did the gardening show yesterday.
Oh, you did.
And some of the plants, those guys always bring plants. This would fit right in.
It would fit. Yeah, people grow it in their garden. It's beautiful. It's absolutely beautiful.
Okay, what else we got
all right,
here?
Another one that's from Rexcroft Farm is Shiso.
Shiso.
Shiso. Okay. S-H-I-S-O.
And I'm supposed to eat this
You're
too?
You're supposed to eat this too. And this is in the mint family.
Oh, I can smell that.
Yeah, it's incredibly aromatic.
Beautiful
again,
leaf.
Another Asian green.
So green on one side, purple on the other side.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And people use it like basil. It's really intense flavor.
It really is an intense flavor, and it's the texture is interesting because of the little veins in the leaf.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. I'll have more.
Yeah. Great. So we love to deliver these kind of things because they aren't things that you would pick up. Because you're not going to know what to do with them. But, you know, with Feel Goods, we give you pictures of them and we give you instructions about what to do and recipes. Another one is Mizuna. Now, this one you might be... You familiar with Mizuna? Get us another Asian green.
No, I'm familiar with Mizuno, but they make baseball bats.
Oh, no, this is different.
This is different.
This is different.
Okay.
This is like arugula, but not as peppery. This you've probably had before because it ends up in a lot of salad mixes.
Yeah.
And it's another thing that's super. So those are some of the greens that I brought.
I'm still tasting the shiso.
Yeah.
It's really strong stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's good.
And we give people pretty big bunches of it, but you actually really don't need all that much.
What
really
would you now?
Impact.
It would overpower most salads. You'd have to be. You'd have to use it sparingly.
Yeah.
I'm thinking.
You know, a lot of these things I think of when I cook with them. I use them like, you know, like herbs, like seasoning.
Yeah.
You just chop it up and throw it in the salad. Or this in this you would, again, when you cook them, their flavor gets milder. So this is something that's most commonly used in stir fries, or you know, throwing it in with you know. Other, you know, we've got some fabulous, what are called lipstick peppers, and you could that we delivered that you could use.
Look at that.
Shiso.
Yeah, they look like they're pretend peppers.
Don't they?
Yeah, they're really beautiful, colorful, nice.
They're colorful, yeah.
So this other one that I'm about to eat now, I got to say this shiso, is, it's strong stuff. It's got quite a character. It's not quite mint.
Right. It's not really.
I can't
basil.
Describe it exactly.
Yeah.
All right, and this is
that is Mizuna, and that again like is like an arugula. So there's a little pepper.
Oh, I like this.
Yeah,
I like this a lot.
Yeah, it's in the mustard family.
I could see a lot of this in a salad.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love these peppery greens.
All right, here's one that came in via email here while we're chewing our shiso.
All right.
This one's from Philip. One of the ways to ensure that we eat good and healthy foods is knowing the source. Might you want to comment how getting foods via CSAs helps to achieve this goal? Hint, the hot pepper mix-up in this week's bag.
Ooh.
So I guess Philip is quite familiar with Field Goods. And could you consider including pork from Raven and Boar in New Lebanon, New York?
Okay.
And actually, Phil says he's a very happy Field Good subscriber from SUNY Albany System.
Oh, yay,
administration.
Phil.
Yeah.
Thank you. Yes, actually, that gives me an opportunity to talk about all sorts of stuff. So, yes, we had a hot pepper crisis this week. So what happened was we got, only in my business, like 2 weeks ago, we had a cauliflower conundrum.
Oh, I love it.
So what we did this week, and I wisely only bought orange and yellow ones, was we got a fabulous pepper mix from Hepworth Farm. It's one of the best farmers around, certified organic farm. They do things that are just beyond beautiful. They did these peppers that you were just commenting
fantastic,
on.
Fantastic, yeah.
And these heirloom tomatoes that we'll talk about.
Oh, yeah, no, those are weird looking.
Those are really weird looking. I wish this is where being on TV would be.
Well, no, we have video stream. If you want to watch this, God help you, it's WAMC.org, and then click on live video, and you'll see all the bounties of the harvest here right
tomatoes.
In the studio.
So anyway, we did this what we call yummy pepper. So bite one of these.
I have to bite a yummy pepper.
You got
to
bite
on
a yummy pepper. So these were sweet pepper mix, and there are red, yellow, and orange yummy peppers. And what happened was there's a type of hot red pepper called a Fresno pepper that looks exactly like the sweet peppers. And
oh, man.
So therefore, some of them got mixed in. Now, we deliver a couple thousand people every week. So there's a lot of customers that we deal with. And luckily, we only had a couple people that got the hot peppers. But we did get reports in.
Did some people say great?
One person said great.
Really?
The other people, it's a problem. You know, we took it very seriously because some people have a really serious reaction to hot peppers. So what's so great about what we do is that we knew exactly where it came from because we deliver 7 items a week. We tell everybody what the farm is, and we buy directly from the farm.
Yeah.
So we contacted Hepworth and said, yikes, what's going on? And they sent us a little sheet of paper with a guide to red peppers, and it had a picture of 3 different types, and we sent that out, and we said, beware, and if, you know, you don't want to play with fire, so to speak, let us know, and we'll give you a credit.
Or, you know, keep them, give them to somebody you don't like, and say,
that's,
hey, these are sweet.
That's what I suggested.
There you go. All right, we got to take a break here. Right. Donna Williams is our guest, Donna with Field Goods, and we're tasting delicious things, and we'll take your calls at 1-800-348-2551. Back in a moment.
Support for WAMC comes from Cafe Capriccio. Chef Jim Rua, working to preserve and maintain the traditions of Italian cuisine and hospitality since 1982 on Grant Street in Albany, New York. CafeCapriccio.com. Gloriosa & Company, Ashfield, Massachusetts. Planning and catering weddings, showers, reunions, and other gatherings indoors or out at the Curtis House with 3 rooms available or at a variety of venues around the area. GloriosaCO.com. The Adirondack Museum at Blue Mountain Lake, announcing 5 new shows, including Mohawk basketry traditions created with the Akwesasne Museum. AdirondackMuseum.org for details. And Mango Tree Imports, Saratoga Springs, New York, announcing their new location in the Saratoga Marketplace at 454 Broadway, open 7 days a week. MangoTreeImports.com.
Well, guess what, boys and girls? The fun drive starts October 5th at 6 a.m. It's Monday morning. Alan will be in the chair and talking to you about what keeps this station going. And there's a way you can make the fun drive shorter. It's by going to WAMC.org and feeding the lockbox. We have this lockbox there. It's a picture of a lockbox, really. But you can put a secure pledge in. Everything raised between now and the start of the fun drive counts on minute one of the drive. Felicia Burke just gave me a sheet that says, as of 2:06 p.m., we have raised $116,889 in the lockbox. As fun drives go, that's a very good day. So, in other words, a whole day of fundraising, that would be a very good to outstanding day. We've already knocked one off the drive. We can knock off several more days of the fun drive just by feeding that lockbox, making your pledge now at WAMC.org. This is Vox Pop. The number to call is 1-800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. Ray Graff here, right across the table. I can barely see her across all the different odd greens and funny-looking tomatoes. Donna Williams of Field Goods.
Well, you know, now you mentioned the fun drive. I want to mention something. You know, we, Field Goods, bring fruit to the fun drive.
I know.
And we're going to bring those Concord grapes. So you might want to try them.
All right.
So you can tell everybody that if they volunteer, they're going to have that same experience.
First of all, they look great.
They do.
Okay? They look like a picture, a painting of grapes that a Dutch master would paint. It's the real thing.
It's the real thing, yeah. I had a customer write once that she said that her kids didn't realize that Welch's grape juice was actually really made out of grapes until they got the Concord grapes in their feel-good bag.
There's nothing like a Concord grape.
There's nothing like a Concord grape.
And, you know, when you have an orange pepper in one hand and a grape in the other, it's an interesting taste sensation. Let me tell you, folks, I don't necessarily recommend it, but 1-800-348-2551 is the number. Let's go to Rick at Woodstock. Rick. Hello, Rick. Are you there? Rick is gone. Is that correct? Okay, we got a strange noise there. We'll try it again. Maybe
all right.
Rick is
thinking about the Concord grapes.
Yeah. You know what? For the fun drive, would be hilarious. Bring some of the really hot peppers and just sprinkle them in. We'll watch the volunteers. It'll be funny. No, don't do that.
No, we won't do that.
Don't do that.
Well, this, you know, gives me an opportunity to talk about the fruit this year and how fabulous it's been because of our warm, sunny, hot weather.
Yeah, it's been pretty dry.
Yes. Now, the dry has been a problem. You know, the farmers that we work with consider this a drought, a surface drought, which has been okay for the fruit when they haven't had it irrigate, and most of them can. But the fruit also has, you know, fairly deep roots, so it really hasn't impacted them. But the heat and the sun have made the sugars really great. And this is supposed to be, according to some of my farmers, the best apple crop they've seen in years.
Really?
Yeah. Fabulous apple crop.
By quality or by numbers?
By both. By numbers, volume that's come out, and also by the quality because of the sugars being so high. I talked to Bob Fix from Fix Farm just before I got here, and I said, give me something to work with, Bob. And he said, oh, people are telling me this has been the best peaches that they've ever had. He thinks that the reason the apple crop has done so well is because of a very successful bloom. So when we had the warmer wet May followed by the wet June, that really helped the apple crop. And interestingly, he said it's because the bees were out there doing their thing. Now, I also talked to Gail Hepworth from Hepworth Farm, and I said, talk to me about the weather. And she said, now, if it gets above 90, which it has recently, for too long of a time, that's a problem for the fruiting vegetables, because what happens is the bees are like, it's too hot. We're not going out to the fields. We're not working.
Really?
And so those plants can have a problem with it. So, you know, the moral of all of this story is that we've got this, we have a need for diversity in what we're growing because we always have weather in the Northeast. I mean, this is not a climate that stays the same.
No,
you know,
a temperate zone.
Yeah, well, you know, we know seasons, but even within, you know, weeks and months, things can change drastically, and all of these plants react differently to different types of weather.
You got some pears here.
Yeah, so there's a Flemish lady pear.
This one?
A mid-sized pear, yeah.
Okay. And it's an economy mid-sized pear.
It's an economy mid-sized pear. And Bob, I think this is the first year he harvests them. I think they're the most fabulous pears I've ever had. They're incredibly sweet. They're sweet like the Seckel pear that you have in front of you, which is a very small pear. But the Seckel pear is considered the sweetest pear, but it's a little tricky because you kind of have to get it just right. So it gets harvested when it's unripe. And then you hold on to it until it starts to soften and ripen up.
So this is a what lady pear?
That's a Flemish lady
pear. I'll tell you what, it's both delicious and beautiful to look at.
Yep.
Nice little speckles on there.
Yeah, it's an attractive partner to the Bosch pear. I think of that as like the prince of pear.
The Bosch pear is the big one there.
Yeah, the
and
big
that's a beautiful
one.
Example of a Bosch pear. Yeah. My God, you don't see that in every grocery store.
You do not. Now, those Zestar apples, and this is an important thing that we do, and I think it's important for our health and waste and greenhouses, that that Zestar apple, which is absolutely gorgeous, is considered a second. So if you pick that apple up and look at it.
This one?
Yeah.
Okay.
That,
it's a second?
It's a second.
What do you mean?
It's because it's got tiny little blemishes on it.
These?
Yep.
These little green dots?
Yep. And that would
looks like
not,
acne. It's apple acne.
Apple acne. Yeah. That would not fly in a grocery store. So we actually buy a lot of these sort of visual seconds because there's absolutely nothing wrong with them from a taste perspective, and it allows us to give our customers a really great value because the farmer can't sell them into traditional
retail stores. That's funny.
Stores.
So just because this.
Just because of that.
And it's every bit as good. Should I try?
You should try it. The Zestar is amazing. It's a hybrid out of either Minnesota or Michigan. For some reason, I get those two states mixed up.
Oh, that's a fantastic apple.
It's a fantastic apple. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Mm. Boy,
and
I'm
they're hard
some
to find. I had a grovel for those.
Really?
Yes.
You do a lot of groveling in
I grovel.
CEO role?
Actually, yes. I had to get on the phone and grovel for those Zestars.
All right, let's go back to the phones.
Right.
I think we got Rick in Woodstock. Rick, you're on.
How you doing, Ray?
Good.
Donna, it's great listening to you. I have to tell you, all my favorite stuff. So listen, I have some insights for CISO for you, Ray. You like it so much.
All right.
I grow a lot of CISO for my restaurant.
Okay.
Two things it's really great with. First of all, it's really great with sushi. I know you're a sushi guy, right?
Is this Rick Orlando?
Yeah.
My
Hi,
God.
Rick.
How you doing, Rick?
How you doing, guys?
I don't mind sushi.
I'm driving and got my little hands free and calling. No, it's used often with sushi, especially with the strong oily fish. You put a little leaf in with the roll because it kind of cuts the oiliness of the fish and gives it some brightness.
Go
but
figure.
What I do with it is I throw a lot of it and it gets out of control, is you hang it just snip the plant and hang it by a string and pitch until it's dry and crumbly. And then you crumble the leaves. You can use a food processor or your hands. And you mix it about 50-50, maybe 60-40 with a coarse salt, not a rock salt, but like a kosher salt or a sea salt, and you make shiso salt, and you use that all season to season shrimp and salmon and white meat like chicken breast or even pork as a seasoning, so it goes a long way. So if you try it, you can use it all winter.
Genius.
It dries nicely, and it adds perfume. A little tip for you guys.
That's fabulous. We're going to send an email out to all our field gooders that got the sea show and tell them to jump on the salt bandwagon there. That's a great idea.
You can buy shiso salt in Asian markets pre-prepared, but why not make your own, right?
Yeah.
It's really good. It's actually great on roast chicken, anything like that.
By the way, Rick, I've really been enjoying your tweets lately. They're funny and informative. Keep it up, man.
Sweetbird. Hey, thanks so much. Have a great show.
Yeah, thanks,
I'll
Rick.
See you.
Yep, that's Rick Orlando. Nice to have a celebrity join us here, huh?
A real pro.
Oh, he's a pro, all right.
He is.
He's always fun to have on the program. 1-800-348-2551. Donna Williams is here from Field Goods. So the company growing by leaps and bounds. The last time you were here, based on the script, was around wintertime. And so since then, you've done corporate partnerships, which is a cool thing.
Yeah, well, we started a new product called Beet Camp, and this was actually inspired by the folks at Beech Nut out in Amsterdam. They've been a long time Field Good customer. Obviously, they're a company that really cares about real food and nutrition and the same kind of things that we're concerned about. But they really wanted to increase the number of people that are participating in Field Goods. So we came up with the idea of them subsidizing the Feel Good bag for the employees for 10 weeks. So anybody at Beech Nut could sign up, and for 10 weeks, they would get their Feel Goods bag for $10 off. And it's a $20 bag, so you're getting $20 worth of food for $10. But actually, with Feel Goods, we get a really good value, so it's even more than that. And, you know, we give you education, and we had a nutritionist come in. So there was a whole kind of program around it. And, boy, it really had a big impact on a lot of their employees and how they eat and their diet, and it was a really great program, and so they decided to do it again, and now it's a permanent program for Beech Nut, and it's fabulous when you think about what that can do for employees and also just farming in our area.
And also, yeah, employees' health and the quality of food, and it's a pretty nice little synergy, corporate synergy. So you come up with that one?
I guess, yes, I did. I did.
Don't be modest. All right, back to the phones we go at 800-348-2551. Carol in Port Ewan, you're on.
Hi, I'd like to thank both of you for being available again this time. In the winter, I heard the show, and I signed up immediately, and I have been enjoying my Field Goods distribution each week. I would love it if Donna could talk a little bit about some of the other groceries that we can add to our orders, like the Palatine Farm cheese is just amazing. The maple syrup and the oils and all those things, Donna.
Oh, thank you so much for bringing that up, because guess what, Ray? I brought oil.
Oh, you did?
I did. And next week, people are going to get this oil in their bag. It is in a bottle.
Did we lose you, Carol?
It's canola oil. Did we lose Carol?
I think, are you
no,
still?
I'm here.
Oh, you're good. Okay, so Carol, so next week we're going to do the canola oil. It's made by the same company that does the sunflower oil. And I don't know if you've got the canola before, but it is fabulous. Now, when you say
canola. I did, and I use it for stir fry because it takes a higher temperature.
Exactly. And it's you have to try this, Ray.
Can I take a swig?
Yeah, just chug the whole
bottle.
All right,
here we go.
It's incredibly intense. It's like it's grassy. I mean,
By the way, don't drink this like you're drinking a beer.
No, he did.
This is something I just learned. But, you know, I'm thinking, I'm well lubricated inside now.
Exactly. And, you know, what's great about this is that it's non-GMO and it's expeller pressed. So, you know, everyone talks about canola and how healthy it is. And it's the rapeseed oil seed. It's the thing about it is that most commercial canola oil, it's a processed oil, so which can add chemicals and cause problems and reduce the nutritional value of it, or so I am told. But this, what I can say is, if you take a look at this oil compared to the canola oil you get in the grocery store, this is a deep gold.
Yeah.
And the other stuff is clear.
You know, it's actually tasty to drink.
Is
a couple pieces of ice, you know, maybe some. Some bourbon, maybe? I think you got something.
We'd throw some
beer, right?
You know, hey,
throw
there you
go. Throw some shisho in. And yes, cheese we brought.
All right.
Next week, we're going to have creme fraiche from Creme Hill Dairy that we get our butter from. And we buy from a couple dozen different...
Would you like one? Strawberry?
No, that's for you. It's one
really?
Of our frozen strawberries with the creme fraiche
right,
on it.
Let's do it.
And... The different kind of cheeses and things we get from these small producers is fabulous. And Carolyn mentioned Palatine. They're just wonderful people. And we get a huge variety of different products. We get cheese curds from them.
Which I love, by the way.
I know. And you can't get cheese curds anywhere. You go to the grocery store, you can't find cheese curds.
Kids love cheese curds. It's a good snack.
Donna loves cheese curds.
All right. Well, did you bring them?
I did not because we don't have them this week. They don't have a really huge shelf life. You know, what we do with the cheeses is we have a cheese subscription. So it's every week you get a different cheese. It's kind of like a cheese of the week club.
Yeah.
So, Carol, I think anything else I'm missing that you're loving?
I should talk about the maple syrup you've had and you've had honey.
Yep, we get.
And I haven't been getting the bread because we try to do less of that. But you have breads and pasta as well.
Yes, we do. We have bread from Café La Perche in Hudson. Ooh la la! It's all fabulous and fresh pasta that we get brought to us every week that we have a pasta subscription for.
Cool.
And yeah, then we get honey from Tuzi Vineyards, which is, by the way, where the grapes came from.
Very good.
And,
very delicious.
And maple syrup.
Well, Carol, thanks a lot for the call. The number to call here is 1-800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. Donna Williams is our guest. Donna is the founder and owner of Field Goods, a produce subscription business that serves the Capital Region and the Hudson Valley, even into Connecticut now.
Yep, we go to Stamford, Connecticut. And that's actually where we ended up in Stamford because Fujifilm decided to do Beat Camp.
Oh, yeah.
They have an office in Valhalla and one in Stamford. And they're very, very forward on wellness and sustainability. And they said, heck, you know what? We want to give Field Goods to all our employees for 10 weeks for free.
Wow.
So everybody at Fujifilm was getting produce from the Hudson Valley, how fabulous is that?
Yeah.
So that's how we ended up in Connecticut.
I'm thinking we ought to try some of the more mysterious things that you brought.
All right, perfect. So now you're looking at the glorious purple beauty of the Concord grapes, and now I'm going to give you something that is truly unattractive.
Agreed.
Yes.
What is it?
Those are... Purple Peruvian potatoes.
Oh, cut it out.
Oh, they are. And they're originated in Peru. In fact, apparently they're just hundreds of varieties of different potatoes that come out of South America.
That's not a good-looking potato.
No.
I'll be honest with you.
It isn't. And what it looks like, we just don't want to talk about
You got that right. Yeah, I think maybe we ought to prepare this.
Right. It is a familiar look, but yes. Not one that one usually puts on your dining room
right
table.
Right you are, Donna.
So anyway, those are a product that's grown by Sky Meadow Farms in Hamilton, New York. This is a fellow, Rich Girardi. He's a great story. He decided to go in farming, start his own farm up. He's kind of a one-man show, and now he's like the specialty potato guy.
Okay.
And there are very few people that grow a number of the potatoes that he grows. And, you know, it's interesting. Different for products, you know, varieties of products have different degrees of difficulty in growing, and these are a very difficult product to grow. So,
because of the climate difference?
Yeah, they're finicky, and he's up. I think I had some elevation, so in where he is, so that works there.
So I mean, I'm not going to eat this, right?
No,
you don't just take it.
Don't eat that.
You know, I would.
You would.
I'd take a swill of canola oil and then give it a shot, but. You said no. All right, what's that?
Now this, he grows this thing. It's called an échalion. Uh-huh. And it looks like a giant, giant shallot. In fact, it is a shallot onion hybrid.
Cool.
Rick is one of just a couple people in the United States that grow this. After next year, he may no longer be able to get any seeds for it because the seeds come from a company over in Holland, and apparently, and I don't understand all of this, but there's all sorts of trade fee patent stuff, and because it is a hybrid, they have to pay fees for both the shallot part and the onion part. So,
oh, you're kidding me.
No, it's kind of crazy, and it's a huge amount of money. So he's gotten seeds. He's one of the few guys that grows these things. Now, here's what's fabulous about these is they're incredibly sweet. And if you were to go to France, yes, if you were to go to France and get French onion soup, it is actually, if it's done right, according to Rich, it is made with the échalion. Not onions.
Aha.
So we are one of the few places you can get that, and we'll be delivering them to our customers in a few weeks.
So he can't reproduce these?
No, right. He can't save the seeds and like make his own baby échalions. He has to get the seeds from the producer, because that's the way it works.
Is it a contract thing? Or
I don't know.
Very interesting.
Somebody out there that knows about how the seed stuff works.
Now, one of my kids, when my kids was young, my son, he would occasionally bite into an onion. So, I mean, that might be one that we could actually eat in here.
Yeah, you could.
Yeah?
You could, yeah. See, shallots are sweeter than onions, and this is in the middle. And what's nice about these is they're so big.
Yeah.
So they're easier. In fact, you cut it lengthwise, not whatever the opposite of the length would be. The
breadth,
shorter size.
Width?
The breadth, the width.
Yes, okay.
Yeah, that. So that's, so yes, yeah, so we have
like
those.
It.
The other thing that we have from him are Adirondack red and Adirondack blue potatoes, which I can't even find on this desk full of all this produce, but they are bright red and bright purple potatoes. Now, the colors, again, mean that you get all the potassium benefits and whatnot of potatoes, but you also get the antioxidants that are associated with all of the magical stuff that makes them purple and red.
All right, let's take a quick break here. Donna Williams is our guest. Donna from Field Goods, and we have so many good things here. If you want to talk about this harvest season, give us a call, 1-800-348-2551.
Support for WAMC comes from Putnam County Tourism. Historic sites, farm-to-table dining, kayaking, hiking, biking, and more. Putnam County, where the country begins. Online, visit putnam.org for event calendar. Harold's Ice Cream, Thorne's Marketplace, downtown Northampton, Massachusetts. Over 300 flavors of handcrafted dairy and dairy-free ice creams, cakes, hot fudge, and more. Harold's.com. Windy Hill Farm Nursery, Orchard and Garden Shop, Great Barrington, Massachusetts. Offering fresh-picked and pick-your-own apples from their orchard and their own unpasteurized natural sweet cider blend, WindyHillFarmInc.com. And Mountain Laurel Waldorf School, New Paltz, New York. Striving to bring forth the full creative potential of the child by addressing the intellect, emotions, and the will. Nursery through 8th grade, MountainLaurel.org.
One 800-348-2551 is the telephone number. It is a Food Friday on this Vox Pop. Ray Graff here with Donna Williams from Field Goods. And, you know, during the break, I tried another strawberry with creme fraiche and a blueberry.
You did try
that. Oh, yeah. And so they're not all that sweet because there's no sugar added. It's not like stewed strawberries, but these were frozen, right?
Yeah, that's in the wintertime. People say, what do you guys do in the wintertime? What we do in the wintertime is we take... We deliver frozen local produce. So what you tried was a frozen strawberry that was frozen right after it was harvested. We work with a company in Kingston, New York, called Farm to Table. And they buy from the same farmers that we buy from during the season. They get the product and they freeze it. So this year they're doing strawberries for us, which are fabulous.
Oh, they're really good.
Yeah, and blueberries we've been doing for a couple of years. The blueberries when they're frozen are like little blueberry mini sorbets. They're just great. And we do sweet corn and edamame, a frozen edamame, certified organic, which is
what's
like,
that? I'm sorry. What's edamame?
Edamame is soybeans. You've gone to a Japanese restaurant before, right?
On occasion.
All right.
I may have had a couple of cocktails prior, so I don't have the best memory, but yeah.
All right. So there are green pod things that might have shown up on your table.
Yeah.
That's edamame. You eat the bean that's inside it.
Oh. You don't eat the whole thing?
No.
There goes my mistake. And that's probably why I blotted it out. Let's go to JD in Springfield. JD, you're on.
Hi, I had a question about the canola oil. I really like your show, and I'm glad to be able to call
in. Oh, thank you.
I'm glad I actually got on.
You're on.
You know, you guys are great. Yeah, the canola oil thing, I didn't understand. I mean, I know it was detoxified rapeseed, but I have had rather unpleasant, shall we say, experiences with things that say they have canola. And so, and then the other thing that I was confused by, I came across a label, which I learned to read because the ingredients changed. I'm so happy they're there. And it said canola, and then it said non-GMO. And I just don't understand how, if it was GMO from the seed on up, how it gets to be non-GMO.
Oh, well, there's a difference. I might be getting into some dangerous ground in terms of the specifics of what I know. So if I'm a little wrong, I'm going to apologize ahead of time.
Oh, but, believe me, you'll be called on it. just carry on.
So there's a difference between a hybrid and genetically modified, right? So pretty much every vegetable or fruit or where you're eating is somehow a hybrid. It's made from, you know, it is grown over time. Like that apple, the Zestar, is a hybrid of a couple different apples, right?
Right.
So that's what my understanding that the original, you know, rape seeds were, is they hybridized the rape seed to make it, I don't know what they added to it, but to make it consumable for humans. Then what happens is when they turn it into oil, and this was done in Canada. So, in fact, canola stands for Canadian Low Acid Oil.
I'll be darned.
Yeah, who knew that?
Right.
Right, because you just remember all of the advertisements in the 80s or whatever, how healthy canola was. So
yeah.
It actually stands for Canadian Low Acid Oil, because they didn't think calling something rapeseed oil was all that.
It's not that marketable. No. Even the Canadians figured that out. It's amazing.
Exactly. So you've got a very good question. If your understanding is that it originally was a genetically modified product, how could it not be a genetically modified product? And I think my answer is that it was hybrid and that there are now canola rape seeds that are genetically modified potentially, and then there's those that aren't.
Okay.
I had a slightly different understanding because the rapeseed was, because I heard an interview with, I think it was the original engineers, and they took the part of the rapeseed oil that they had decided were toxic, because rapeseed oil is a really good machine oil, but, and the hybrids that are just made from seed selection and that kind of thing, that's one thing, but when chemical engineers begin to alter the seeds, that's the genetically modified, God move over process. But natural selection, hybridization is just the plants themselves without any chemical engineers involved. At least that was my latest chemical understanding.
Yeah, but maybe the nuance here is that this is not a modified to be resistant to particular pesticides and whatnot. But it's a good thing. We'll look into it.
Yeah.
The company that we work with is in Vermont. It's a small company. I'll have a conversation with them about this.
Okay.
Thank
you. Well, JD, thanks for the call. So interesting that this was also used as sort of lubricating for machines.
The rapeseed originally were. And she's absolutely
right. So I took a swig of this.
You did.
It's like drinking 10W30.
Exactly. So
You know what? I'm gonna get better gas mileage on the way home. Let's go to Nancy in Schenectady. Nancy, you're on.
Hi.
Hi.
Enjoy your motor oil there.
It's very tasty, actually.
I'm really very much into local foods. I love all the local harvest. We're doing a luncheon at our church this Sunday to celebrate locavore foods. Anyway, what I'm going nuts with right now, though, is I have two apple trees in my backyard, the early apples and the late apples on the two different trees. And I have so many early on the early apple tree, and I'm making like applesauce nonstop.
Cool.
And sticking it in the freezer. Those are with the apples that have some flaws. The gorgeous, beautiful apples that are virtually flawless in spite of not having been sprayed are, you know.
Oh, that's great.
How do I store them to keep them for a little bit longer?
That's a great question.
Yeah, that's a really good question. Okay, so the pros, the way they do it is something you would not do, but just by way of background is, you know, we will deliver apples that are harvested this time of year in April.
Really?
Yeah.
And how do you do that?
How do we do that? Well, what happens is the farmers send them, put them into a storage location where they suck all of the oxygen out and they replace it with hydrogen or nitrogen.
No way.
Nitrogen. Yeah. So because oxygen is what
makes those things.
Yeah, you don't need to buy one of them.
Yeah, I don't think you should do that, Nancy.
But I could rent space in one of them.
Oh, that's an interesting idea.
You know, I don't know, because what they do is they seal them up, right? So once they stuff these gigantic rooms full of apples, they close them, and then they don't open them until they need to get to that batch of apples.
Oh, that's amazing.
Now, but what you might be able to do is with the apple, what you want to do is you want to reduce the amount of the effect of the ethylene gas. Okay. And there are products that are out there that remove ethylene gases. So if you keep your apples cold, so you want to keep them as close to freezing as possible.
But not freezing.
Mm-hmm. And then do your lookout, and I don't know exactly what the, you know, what exactly would work depending on the kind of size of, you know, amount of apples that you want. But there are, I know you can get things that cover pallets, for instance, that remove the gas. And then that is what slows up the process of the apples deteriorating.
And it's a product that you can purchase?
Yep. Go online. And, you know, I don't know exactly what companies they are, but if you look at, you know, ethylene gas removers, like if you buy, there's a company, I think it's Green something or other, that has, I don't know.
Sufficiently vague for this program. Good. Well done.
Yeah, following the rules. Where you can buy these bags that you put your produce in and stick it in the refrigerator, and it extends the shelf life, because basically that's what you're doing. You know, if, for instance, people will say, if you want your bananas to ripen faster, stick an apple in there, because apples are sort of like the, you know, the super ethylene gas producers. So you want to, and that's why they say, and when they bruise, they start to rot faster, which is why they say one bad apple.
I think you should just make a lot of pies, Nancy. Make a lot of pies and freeze them.
Yeah. Or just keep them cold and find that ethylene gas remover.
And how do you spell apple in anyway?
Ah.
Oh, gosh.
Okay, someone will know.
A-H-L-Y-F-L-Y-N-E-N-E.
Can you use it in a sentence?
What was the first letter?
E.
Okay,
that I'm sure of.
Okay, today's program is brought to you by the letter E. Okay. Nancy, good luck with your apples. And this question came in via email. This is another question about apples. It says, do you use Altamont orchards? I have a fruit share with Altamont. Just recently we got Concord grapes and Zestar apples. They were both great. The apples were good alone and cooked into an applesauce. They were just the right amount of tartness. Not quite a Granny Smith, but not too sweet.
You know, we don't use Altamont, and I don't know why we don't. We should connect with them. I mean, we use so many different farms. It might be they don't sell wholesale. A lot, you know, it's interesting. A lot of these guys, they can sell everything that they grow, either through their pick their owns or their farm stands, et cetera. In fact, that's what a really important thing to us is that we need more local farms out there to help us get the supply that we need. So, but I've heard great things about them.
Yeah. Okay. Now, I'm not familiar with them. I know Indian Ladder farms,
you know,
up in Altamont.
Yeah.
They're amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing.
We have fabulous apple growing country here.
Mm-hmm. Let's go to Patrick and Remsen. Patrick, you're on.
Hey, Ray. How you doing?
Good. Nice to have you here.
I'm just curious. I'm in the greater Utica area, and I'm looking to find a food sharing co-op in my area. Two friends of mine own one of the greatest restaurants in the Utica area, Taylor and the Cook.
What's the name of it?
Taylor and the Cook.
Okay, I'm going to be out that way soon, so I'll have to remember that.
Oh, you got to go. It's a farm stable restaurant. But my question is, where can I find this kind of product in the greater Utica area, if you know?
We don't go out to Utica yet, although we keep growing and growing.
Yeah.
But what I'm going to suggest is Local Harvest is a website that lists CSAs, and that might be one resource that you could go to. You know, your local Cornell Cooperative Extension might know of CSA farms that are in that area.
Okay.
That might be another good resource to go to.
Okay.
Hey, Patrick, thanks a lot.
Thank you very much.
We'll see you. Over to Karen in Great Barrington. Hiya, Karen.
Hi there. I have a question. My name's Karen Christensen. I'm from Berkshire Publishing Group. I'm working on an encyclopedia of Chinese cuisines. Are there Asian farming outfits in the Hudson Valley?
Oh, yes, there is.
Really?
I thought there would be. You know, lots of parts of the country there are, and I don't know them around here. I think a lot of people would be interested in that specialty.
Yeah, and oh my gosh, I'm forgetting their names because we don't buy from them because they don't grow enough, but they're in Columbia County and they grow rice.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
They grow rice.
They grow rice.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. So if
now
you.
That I wasn't expecting. I was thinking of greens and maybe some fruits.
Yeah. That if you email me at donna@field-goods.com and say.
Yeah.
Find the name of that Asian farmer. I can do that because I just have to ask like two people to get that for you. And then the only other one I can think of, but there's a Korean farmer that we buy from that's in New Jersey. And they grow Asian pears. And we get Asian pears from them. And then we get jujubes. So it'd be the same thing. I could give you the name of that.
Jujubes are candy, terrific. Right?
Terrific. I mean, there's so many people interested in Asian cuisines now, and you know, I was hoping to find that there were more farmers supplying the local produce.
There's lots and lots of farmers that grow Asian greens in the Hudson Valley that aren't necessarily Asian farmers. Because so many Asian greens work well in our climate here.
That's what I was figuring.
Yeah. It's really, actually the... It's really important that I think that people in our region sort of dial into the Asian greens because they're products that can grow in harsher climates. Like bok choy, for instance, I can get all year round, which is, you know, because it grows in the greenhouses, it grows fast, it likes the cold, et cetera. So go Asian food.
Right.
Well, good luck with the encyclopedia, Karen. That sounds like quite
Thank
a project.
Yeah, it is.
I appreciate the call very much. 1-800-348-2551 is our telephone number. You see how these shows go?
Yeah.
You just get one thread after another on this program. Yeah. Very interesting.
Well, it keeps you young.
And next time we'll know how to spell ethylene gas because it's...
No, you don't. I won't.
No, you won't.
No,
it's all right. Let's go to Jim in Adams, Mass. Jim, you're on.
Hey, Ray. How are we doing?
Good. How are you?
Shout out to your guest. On the ethylene, I got my two-volume dictionary from the encyclopedia. It's ethylene, ethylene.
I think she did it correctly. Okay.
Got it. Okay, excellent. And there is an Asian farmer. He's over in Deerfield or South Deerfield, Mass. In the Connecticut River Valley, not to help your people over there pretty much probably.
Okay.
But he does grow quite a few things there. My question was, my understanding of rapeseed oil was that it's been used for thousands of years as a human consumable oil in India and other countries in Asia. I didn't catch the earlier part of your program when you were talking about rapeseed oil being used as a machine lubricant.
Yeah. Thing. Well, I'm going to try it on the minivan before I go home.
But what is the objectionable product?
It's a long...
Rapeseed oil.
Yeah, well, I think, and I'm glad you brought up that, you know... There's different, you know, every plant's got all sorts of different varieties of it, right? So, you know, there's something in that rapeseed family, right? Okay, and I don't know, I'm probably wrong.
Yeah, it's a member of the mustard family.
The thing is,
the
Jim...
Mustard, and so there's different, like sunflowers. There's a bazillion different types of sunflowers.
And unfortunately, we're almost out of time. So we really can't, I mean, if we had a whole hour to talk about all the different rapeseeds, I think we could do it. But Jim, I apologize, but I do recommend you take a good swig of this stuff. It's delicious. I had a swig of canola oil early.
I use grapeseed oil and rice bran oil primarily.
Oh, really? Okay. Well, very good. Well, thanks a lot for the call. Well, I tell you what, we only have about a minute left.
All right.
Should we try to squeeze another call in?
Betsy.
All right, let's go to Betsy. Sweet Betsy from Pike. No, from Hudson. You're on.
Yes, I just want to say that the people that grow rice in Columbia County, it's the Yuk family, Y-U-K.
Okay.
And I see that they are in the phone book.
Oh, yay. Thank you, Betsy. I knew you were the right one.
Betsy, thanks a lot for the call. We appreciate it. Well, we're just about out of time.
All right.
So how do we find out more about Field Goods?
Oh, that's easy. You just go to field-goods.com. That's field like field of corn, F-I-E-L-D, dash goods, plural.com. And then we have a nifty Facebook page with all sorts of great stuff. And you could just email us with any questions. And
I have a lot of questions. In fact, we didn't even get to half the food that you brought.
Oh, yeah. We missed all the herbs. Oh, we missed, darn, Ray, we missed the savory. Well, you know, savory's an aphrodisiac. I'm sorry.
Well, you know what? I'm glad we didn't start that whole thing. We're out of time. By golly, look at the time. Support comes from Albany Realty Group, a local woman-owned real estate company since 2003, educating and counseling sellers and buyers throughout the real estate transaction. AlbanyRealtyGroup.com. Spirit House, Amherst, Massachusetts, a family-owned wine, beer, and spirits retailer offering organically farmed wines from around the world. Wine tasting Saturday afternoons, SpiritHAUS.com. Blue Heron Restaurant and Catering, located in the Old Town Hall, Sunderland, Massachusetts, serving globally inspired, locally sourced cuisine. Open for dinner Tuesday through Sunday at 5, BlueHeronDining.com. At Manny's TV and Appliances, family-owned since 1977, now offering olive oil from his vineyards in Crete, available at Atkins, River Valley Market, Randall's, Foster's, and Big Y grocery stores, Manny'sOliveOil.com. Thanks again, Donna. Great show. Love to have you here. It was very fun.
I just do. Yeah. I am so thankful.
All right. Well, we're all done here. The news is next. Have a great weekend.